All right, which brings us to item four on our agenda, the legislative update. So with that, I will turn it over to Karen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So we have a legislative update for you today regarding bills that are currently pending with the California legislature. We do have a memo in the agenda packet for you that summarizes these bills, and I'm going to go through them today. Please feel free to stop me and ask any questions you might have. The legislature currently is in a two-year session, so they'll have 2 years to review many of these bills. Some of these bills, if they do become, if they do get enacted, they become effective on January 1, 2026, unless they're an urgency legislation. Urgency legislation becomes effective upon enactment. And we'll get started on page one of the memo. We have two bills that have to do with collective bargaining. The first one is Assembly Bill 339, and it would add a notice requirement requiring public agencies to provide 120 days written notice before issuing a request for proposal for services that are within the scope of work of job classifications that are represented by labor unions. And the next one, also having to do with collective bargaining, is Assembly Bill 340. You can find that on page two of the memo. And that would make confidential communications between union members and their representative from the union, to the extent that the communication has to do with a subject matter that's within the scope of the union's representation. Moving on to Assembly Bill 569, this had to do with supplemental defined benefit plans. We got notice that this bill was killed. That's the term that's used by the lobbyists. The bill was killed, so it is no longer really under consideration. But it did generate some media attention, so I wanted to mention it to all of you. It had to do with the PEPRA prohibition against creating new supplemental defined benefit plans. And this particular bill would have addressed the ability of the public employers to bargain over contributions for supplemental retirement benefits. So again, that bill was killed, we were told. No longer relevant, but it is there, and it did generate some media attention. Let me pause and see if there's any questions. Okay, moving on to Assembly Bill 814. This is on page three of the memo. It is a tax change in the California tax law, and it would exclude from gross income pension benefits that are provided to members that performed services as peace officers. So again, this is a change in taxability. It would make those pension benefits non-taxable. Moving on to Assembly Bill 1323. This is an Orange County only proposal, and it has to do with the per meeting stipend that is paid to appointed members of the retirement board. Again, it would apply only to Orange County, so the Orange County Retirement System, OSERS. And the proposal is to raise that stipend from $100 per meeting to not more than $320 per meeting. The last time I checked the status on this one, the hearing was canceled on this bill, so I'm not sure if that's a signal that this is, this bill would not proceed, but it's definitely not good news for Orange County that the hearing was canceled.
I've often been critical of the Orange County legislative agenda from time to time, but I thought this was a marvelous bill. very sad to see it, apparently dying a quiet death, but, I get it.
Yes.
Will we ask Karen to be part of this? Just out of curiosity.
Can Cicera ask to be part of it?
Yes. Well, did who Orange County ask others, including Cicera, to join them?
This proposal came before the SACRS Legislative Committee, I believe, last year. The discussion there was that the $100 per meeting is very standard up and down the state, and that there was no appetite for pursuing a request to increase it.
Isn't that in Searle, isn't it the maximum in Searle that you can get?
That's the maximum in the Searle that you can get, yes. But it's comparable to other like agencies up and down the state, so it would be an exception to raise it, which is why there was no appetite on behalf of SACRS to proceed with it. Moving on to AB 1439 on page 4 of the memo, this has to do with investments into development projects in California, and it would have created a limitation on those to the extent that projects do not include labor standards protections. And I checked the status, and the hearing was canceled on that bill as well, so it doesn't seem to be proceeding. Moving on to Senate Bill 301, this has to do with prohibiting a city or a district that contracts with a retirement system under Searle from amending their contract with a system in a manner that provides for the exclusion of some, but not all, employees. So the purpose there is to make sure that if a public employer is part of the Searle pension system, that all of their employees would be part of it, and the employer couldn't exclude some from participation in the retirement system. Yes?
Does that apply to part-time? I mean, how does that really play out? Because I know that's been an issue with for agencies that weren't part of CalPERS, that, for example, if they started their police department going in-house, this came in for cities that have contracted with the sheriff's department, one of the impediments for them starting their own police department is then they would have to really bring people in, go into CalPERS, and CalPERS has a policy that if you bring in the police department, then you've got to turn all of the city employees into CalPERS employees. So currently with Searle, we don't have any such requirement. You can sort of piecemeal have certain groups that don't?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't see it that way. The current law, even without this bill, basically, you know, we have a list, the board has a list in the regulations on what counts as basically membership.
Yeah.
And no, employers would not be able to exclude certain groups.
Well, so what problem is Tim trying to fix here?
My understanding is that this came up, I want to say in Orange County again.
Okay, well.
With some sort of a consolidation where the agency
they brought
was,
in, they had annexed in another.
Yes, and I think they're trying to take it to clarify it and make sure that it applies to Searle. We think that's already the case.
Okay, well, that's why I was puzzled by it. And
it is puzzling.
So anyway, next time I see this senator, I'll ask him, but I'm curious where it came from. Okay.
Yeah. The other interesting thing about this bill is the way it's written, it has to do with contracts between the public agency and the retirement system, which is what CalPERS does. They contract with local agencies to become part of CalPERS. That's not the case with the Searle system.
Right.
There's no requirement for a contract between Cicera and the district. It's a different process. So it's kind of inapplicable, really, but I think there's a purpose behind it. So next is Senate Bill 443. It's on page 5 of the memo. It has to do with the GPA, the Joint Powers Authority, and basically clarifies what types of defined benefit plans they can offer to their employees. There's a certain time limitation on when agencies are joining the JPA and what benefit formulas they're able to provide to their employees. Moving on to SB 827, this has to do with local agency officials and required training. You already know that you're required to be trained in ethics, two hours of ethics every 2 years. As a retirement board member, there's additional education requirements in Searle that you're subject to. This would add education requirement for fiscal and financial training for local agencies. And the bill does define what that is. It seems to me that it's the type of fiscal education that this board already receives, but I can understand why the legislature would like other public agencies to have this specific fiscal training for their public officials if they don't have such a requirement already.
Karen, sorry, can I ask a question about the previous one?
Absolutely, yes.
In the language, it says, establishes new retirement formula that may not be exceeded by a public employer offering a defined benefit, blah, 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 for the hired after January 1st. So does it establish new formulas for PEPRA?
No, it doesn't establish new formulas. It basically has to do with whether they can offer the pre-PEPRA benefits or whether they're limited to the PEPRA benefits. Of course, the PEPRA retirement benefits are lower than the pre-PEPRA ones. And so some of these various consolidations of, you know, different authorities into joint authorities, they would like to be able to offer the pre-PEPRA benefits so that all their employees or all the employees of the agencies that are under the JPA would be covered by the same benefit structure.
Okay.
So we are now on Senate Bill 853, which is on page 6. This has to do with a clarification in the law. So this is part of a very, very long bill that contains a lot of different clarifications in public retirement law applicable to CalPERS, CalSTRS, and the Searle systems. What I put together here is only the part that applies to the Searle systems. And the first part in this bill that applies to the Searle systems is a clarification on the pensionable compensation of a member that has a leave of absence during the time period that the system looks at to measure their compensation. And when there is an absence, this would clarify that the Searle system would have to look at the pensionable compensation of the position held by the member at the beginning of the absence. And that is consistent with how CICERA currently makes the calculation, so it wouldn't impact how CICERA handles these items, but it is a clarification on the language in the bill, in the statute. The next clarification there is that enhancements apply prospectively only. Enhancement do not apply retroactively. So one of the enhancements that's being mentioned here is the transformation of a general service into safety service. Sometimes the classification is non-safety and then it gets reclassified as a safety classification. Therefore, the retirement benefit for the safety part is higher. But this clarifies that that enhancement would only apply prospectively and not retroactively. And the last clarification here in this bill that applies to Searle has to do with the reemployment of retirees. And it would delete the 30-day stipulation and instead allow the retirement system to define the time period in which the employer must provide reports to the retirement system on retirees back to work. Okay, so moving on to the last one in the memo, and that is the Assembly Constitutional Amendment, ACA 2, and this would create a defined pension system for the legislature. Currently, the legislature does not have a pension. This proposal is to create a pension right for the legislature. Because it's a constitutional amendment, it has a higher threshold, of course, for passing. It would have to pass both houses of the legislature by two-thirds vote, and then it would be put out to the electorate at the next general election. So a very high threshold to pass in order for this to become the law. But it is out there as a proposal.
That'd be an interesting ballot measure, wouldn't it?
Curious what the cost is projected to be for this.
That is, I think, the next thing that they'll look at is okay. The fiscal impact of
right, this. Right, which would
proposal.
Have to be obviously clarified to the electorate. Interesting.
Yeah. So the last bill that I wanted to mention is not on here. It's a two-year bill, so it's not something that will become effective this year. But it is of pretty high importance, actually, to the Searle systems, to CalPERS. It's Assembly Bill 1383, and it creates new higher tiers for new employees and also current employees, but for future service only. Higher benefits than what PEPRA provides right now. And the explanation for this proposal is that there is a recruitment and retention challenge up and down the state. And so the proposal proposes higher retirement tiers. Obviously, that has a fiscal impact, a very, very substantial fiscal impact on state and local agencies. CalPERS has had their actuaries work on a cost impact analysis, and in addition, the Sackers systems got together and retained the Siegel Company, the actuaries, to come up with a cost analysis as well to provide that information to the legislature. And so actually just last night, Christina and I got a notice that study by Siegel has been completed and will be provided to the legislature. So again, this is a two-year bill. It's not going to be to become law this year. it would have a very, very significant impact on the costs for public employers. But the direction it's going is, again, an increased retirement benefit for future service.
Can you get a copy of the Siegel report when you get it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm really curious. It's an interesting way to get around PEPRA.
Yes.
I mean, you just set new tiers, a whole
it's
new
a
level.
It's a new, it's basically a new.
Yeah, no, very interesting.
Anti-PEPRA.
Okay.
It's interesting. Just the other day, I was talking to a few PEPRA members, and I was telling them there used to be Tier 2 that basically was then changed to Tier 3, right? So that looks like the same thing as at least they're trying to do. Do you know any details, like what the new tier would be? Or
Yes, there are details. There are detailed formulas. The detailed formulas that appear in the bill now only address safety formulas. But the way it's written currently, those will become mandatory, but then non-safety members could negotiate with employers for similar formulas. And so it would lower the pension age factor from the age of 57 to the age of 55, so lower age. It would raise the percentage in the formula to 3%. I can send you a copy of this bill. It's very specific on how the benefits are going to increase if this were to pass.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments?
I had a question back. I don't know what it is about the Rubio bill that generated so many questions, but SB 443. So for joint powers authorities, you oftentimes have multiple cities that connect and they create a JPA, and there are many others that involve cities and a county joining, you know, together. And the question I have is which system governs the Joint Powers Authority if you have a SURL employer and you have CalPERS employers who come together and form a JPA that has employees and so on?
That's a good question. I don't know that I have an answer. In Contra Costa County, the JPA, I believe, is part of the county. So in terms of the retirement system, if they have employees, they're county employees. I think I have that right. We certainly do not have a JPA as a separate employer that participates in CICERA.
Right. I didn't think we did.
Yeah.
But I'm familiar with one or two joint powers authorities that are the hybrid that have a county and cities. And I think in each of those, the employees are all CalPERS.
It's very possible.
If I'm correct. One I'm certain of, the other one I'm less certain of, but I think that's true. Because if they weren't in CalPERS, they'd be with us.
Yes.
Right. So.
Yeah.
Unless, I guess, they, for whatever reason or however that JPA is staffed, one of the member agencies is the one who supplies all of the manpower effort, right? And so those, whoever those employees were, would remain employees of their member entity. I don't know. I was just curious when I was looking at it.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions of Karen on the legislative report? Not seeing or hearing any. So thank you, Karen. Interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to circulate to everybody.
Yes,
the,
we will.
On the two-year bill.
Okay. Yes.
The audit findings or the actuarial findings.
Absolutely.
Okay.